Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
No, you are not crazy. It really is me. John Grayson in for Dana and Parks today. And no, this isn't some kind of weird, like, unretirement. No. I'm still officially retired. But a couple of things happened. Scott has been on vacation all week long, continues his vacation. And today, Dana lost her voice. It is shot. And I talked to her on the phone briefly because I didn't want to keep her on the phone very long and to make matters even worse. But a little under the weather. She was off to the urgent care. And then she said back to bed with some chicken soup. So at least she's probably headed in the right direction there. But just for the day, figured it would be fun and got the phone call a little bit earlier today. Hey, dude, can you do a show? So I don't know about the ability, but I'm doing my best. And yeah, it's good to have you along. I know we've been getting a lot of messages on the text line. What's Grayson doing on the air?
I thought he moved to Portugal. What is that, Grayson?
And new and phone, that, who dis?
Right. And that piece of the story, by the way, is just that the process of getting the move done has proved to be months longer than we thought it would be. So yes, I am still in the States for the time being, not for very much longer. Another reference back to Rocky Horror. Weird. So, for about the next few weeks or so, still here, and then we'll be off to Portugal. And then you can start, watching the Facebook page and all of that for the pictures and the videos and stuff that will come out of there. So for today, it's you and me and Sam and Dan and just kicking back and having a good time. And Dan, speaking of unretirement, you had a story in the news just now about Daniel Day-Lewis. So he's coming back and doing film again after he retired to go, explore the world or whatever. And now he's doing that. And it's curious because there are two actors who, for very different reasons, I just can't get behind. And he's one of them. And it has nothing to do with his ability. No, I mean, he is a fantastic actor. I do not dispute that. I'm not saying, I should never be in movies. No. He's very good. I heard Gangs of New York was a wonderful film. I'm sure it was.
Yeah, it was.
Didn't
really
go see
good.
It. Yeah, didn't go see it because he's in it. And the only one that I've seen because I had to, he was Lincoln in Lincoln, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I had to see that one because I was still a voting SAG-AFTRA member at that point, and they send us, for the SAG Awards, they send DVDs out for us to watch, and then we have to review them and all of that, and then vote. So that's why I watched that one. But do you have anybody like that that you just, for whatever reason, you can't take as an actor?
Not really. I haven't really thought about it like that.
Because the reasons... The other one is Mel Gibson, by the way, and it has to do with movies that they made that made me like actively angry at the movie, and again for very different reasons. The first time I ever saw Daniel Day-Lewis in a movie, it was Last of the Mohicans, and that movie is objectively horrible. I mean, it batters you over the head with what a bad movie it is. I mean, it's overacted by everybody involved. The story is lame. You don't care about it. At one point in that movie, one of the characters, not Daniel Day-Lewis, makes this incredible sacrifice, sacrifices his life in the movie. And I just didn't care because I cared so little about the character. It was like, he did this amazing thing, but who is he? I don't care. So, and ever since then, every time I see his name, Daniel Day-Lewis, starring in a movie, I think, I can't take the chance that he's going to do it to me again. You know?
Text line like, says Sylvester Stallone.
Ooh, I would love to know why. Because Stallone has made some bad films. He has. But he's also made some really good ones. And it's not like there are some people that you just don't like. They just rub you the wrong way. And it's, you know, so you don't watch their movies because of that. I'm not talking about that so much, and not even talking about being a lousy actor. But the other movie, the one that lost me for Mel Gibson, was a movie he did, it would have been late 90s, called The Patriot. And that movie, I walked out of the theater just hot, angry at the message of that movie. Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, because the message of the movie, if you've never seen it, Mel Gibson starts the film as a pacifist because he was involved in the French and Indian War and saw the horrible atrocities that went on there and took part in some of the horrible atrocities that went on there and just had this change of heart about the life of a warrior.
Right.
And so he became this pacifist, and he was, you know, this is during, was it the Revolutionary War?
1776.
And so he, you know, is not getting involved, and people are saying, but you owe it to the country and all of this that we're trying to build here. And he was like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And then the British come in and do some horrible things to his family. They murder his son, and there's more that goes on. And so all of a sudden, it's kind of like an episode of the old TV show Kung Fu, where like the entire episode is, I will not fight you, I will not fight you. And then at the end is like, okay, I will fight you. And then he kicks everybody's butt.
The revenge tour.
Right, exactly. And that's what happens in The Patriot, is after these horrible atrocities are done to his family, Mel Gibson goes back and fights in the Revolution and kills a whole bunch of Brits and all of this stuff. So the message of the movie is, yeah, being a pacifist is all cute and all, and so, until somebody really pisses you off.
And then I
couldn't take that. And I was like, that's it. I'm done. And
I had with that movie is that they were camping on the sandbars along the South Carolina coast, just feet from the ocean water. And I'm like, nobody would camp like that.
Okay. Yeah, you people know tides exist, right? Just out of curiosity, you know, that's like, that's a sandbar now, but, you know in a little while it's going to be a shoal.
That's been used often in movies. You know, it's very much like the story of Sergeant York from back in World War I, you know, and I mean, it's an okay movie for, popcorn and spending a couple hours.
I just hated the message. I hated it so much. And I don't know if Mel Gibson wrote that one as well as starring in it. He may have, but I know he was heavily involved in the process of making the movie, not just starring in it. And I was like, no. If that's what you think is a good message to put out there into the universe, I got no use for you.
Another from the text line, Tom Cruise.
Okay. I keep texting these in, but if you can, just give me a little indication as to what they did that made you not be able to stomach them anymore.
Somebody said, I can't stand his face.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
We like what we like.
Exactly. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I had a conversation with a buddy of mine, Dave White, who's a movie critic out in Hollywood. And we were talking one night, and I mentioned Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep is one of those who I know she is an incredible actress. She really is, and has played such a wide variety of roles, and she's very, very good. I cannot take her. I don't know why. There's something about her, maybe it's the way she carries herself or whatever, that or the way that she, I don't know what it is, but there's something about Meryl Streep I just don't like. And I was talking to Dave about this, and he said, yeah, I have a friend whose theory on that is it's people you either want to sleep with or don't. I was like, okay,
all right,
maybe. But I don't know. It is a strange thing, though. And it must be, it's like, especially for women who are on TV news, and they have to be so much more conscious of what they wear and what their makeup is and what their hair looks like than
facial
do the
expressions.
Men.
Yeah.
Right. And because they will be attacked. And we've seen it happen. I mean, I used to see it happen on the text line. If Jamie and I were talking about somebody who was on the who was on the news locally in Kansas City, we would invariably get texts from guys who would hack on their appearance. And it's like, okay, you realize that's not the job of a journalist, is to look pretty for you.
Unless they're a meteorologist in San Diego.
Yes, I suppose so.
Oh, did I say that out loud? Sorry.
Oh, I can. I mean, there was a time, probably mid 90s, where the Weather Channel, boy, I mean, if you were a young buck in your 20s, as I was at the time, and you wanted to see really beautiful women on TV, boy, pop the Weather Channel on, man, because they were all just smoking hot.
Now, but I know you had mentioned it's not necessarily because they're bad actors, but I feel like the one that I'm about to bring to you makes sense here, because I do love him as a person. I love him as a wrestler. You might know where I'm going here. And quite frankly, not all of his roles are the worst. His movies are fantastic, the ones that he appears in, and mm-hmm. It's Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
The Rock. I was going to say, it's either The Rock or it's John Cena, so yeah.
And the only reason I can't stand his movies is because he is so bad at acting. Now, in the roles where he's not trying to be a good actor,
right,
it's phenomenal. But when he's trying to do a serious role of any kind whatsoever, it is the worst movie on the planet because he's just not a serious guy.
Right, and you can either emote in front of a camera or you can't. And he can, you know, cock the eyebrow and mug for the camera and do all of that stuff, but that only works, you're absolutely right, that only works in bad movies.
Yeah, he is typecast to bad movies only, and there better be some serious explosions, and that is it. Do not give him a serious role, and as he expands his horizon in Hollywood, he's getting a lot of them. He just had a recent serious role, and believe it or not, I want to go see it because it looks fantastic, but I'm afraid that I'm going to go in and sit down. He's the MMA fighter. I'm going to go in and sit down and hate every single second of it because he cannot have those serious conversations.
Yep. And there are some who've been able to make that jump, you know, from being famous for one thing and go into acting and be really, really good at it. But that's a fairly short list. So, yeah, it's always a risk. We'll take a brief time out on that. A conversation coming up with Bob Denver's widow, Dreema Denver, who has a brand new book out about her late husband and his time on TV on Gilligan's Island and elsewhere. We'll talk with her in just a few. Stick with us. And if you want in, either on the text line or on the phone, 913-586-7798. Keep it coming, and we'll keep it going on KMBZ.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Every weekday at 4, I would come home from school and sit down with my sister and watch our little 19-inch black and white TV and watch Gilligan's Island. And we're lucky enough to have online with us the woman who was married to Bob Denver, Dreema Denver, who has given us a brand new book. It's called Island to Icon, The Many Lives of Bob Denver, and it's fantastic. And Dreema, thank you so much, first of all, for joining us. And I wonder, I mean, the idea that a show that only ran for 3 seasons still has popularity 60 years later is absolutely incredible when so many others have just kind of been lost to the sands of time. I wonder what you think is the magic that allowed that to happen, that allows us to still love Gilligan's Island.
I'm going to tell you what Bob thought the magic was.
Please.
Okay, that's even better than what the answer I would come up with. He thought, and he was so correct, that the longevity of that show was due to the fact that you couldn't place it in any particular time period. Think about that.
Yeah, that's
every true. Other show from the early 60s, the ones I love, the Donna Reed Show, The Father Knows Best, all those shows were obviously in the 50s or the 60s. And Gilligan's Island, because there's no telephones, there's no car, there's no anything to date it, it could be any time. You could take the show right now exactly as it is, especially the color, obviously, episodes, and put them on the air without people knowing anything about the show, and they would think it was brand new.
You never really thought about it that way, but now you've got me thinking about Dobie Gillis, because in a way, even though Dobie Gillis had the kinds of things you're talking about, the cars and the phones and TVs and things like that, that could date it a little bit, it still had what I always thought was a very modern feel. It had a very sort of 80s and 90s tone about it that the other shows in the 50s and 60s really didn't have. And that brings us, I guess, to Maynard G. Krebs. Talk to us about Maynard, because I would be fascinated to know how Bob Denver built that character.
I love Maynard. Maynard's my favorite, I got to say. And when we met President Clinton back in 1995, I think it was, and he walked into the room going, "Maynard G. Krebs, I'm so happy to meet you." That was pretty cool. Okay, so now what was the question again?
It was about where Maynard came from, you know, with Bob being very unlike Maynard G. Krebs. How did he come up with all of the idiosyncrasies and everything else that became a part of the character?
That was Max Schulman, a prolific and highly respected Hollywood writer back in the day. And he created, he had books called The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis that had no Maynard character. So he came up with Maynard for TV, and Bob got to be the first beatnik on television. And he loved it because he went to all the coffee houses around LA and in San Francisco to see how they, you know, when they had like open mics, what they did, what they said, and how they acted and all that. So that's where Maynard came from. And the thing that Bob loved about his career that was so exciting to him was he actually, with his two most famous characters, he got to have the best of both worlds. One was physical comedy, which he loved and was very good at. And the other was the beautifully written word comedy by Max Schulman, you know? And he loved to be able to say Max's words and to be able to be a beatnik on TV and have that whole like Thelonious Monk thing going. He loved all that, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we're talking again with Dreema Denver. The book is out and available now. It's called Island to Icon, The Many Lives of Bob Denver. And one of the things that I love about it is that there are so many things in here, articles, newspaper articles, articles from TV Guide that you and Bob wrote back and forth to each other, letters that he was written from other famous people. I mean, it's this treasure trove of stuff. And it gives us a real glimpse into what Bob Denver was like, into who he was when he wasn't acting. And there are all of these terrific stories about him and his family. And there's one that I want to have you tell us. Explain what happened when you met Bob's mother.
Oh, Gran. Gran was awesome. I loved her so. And she loved me. I was so happy that she did. I was an actress and I was cast in a show with Bob. And he had his mother and his two oldest kids with him on the road. This was during the summer, during school break and all that. And his mom took a shine to me and I took a shine to her. And she could tell that her son and I had taken a shine to each other.
Sure.
She could tell that right off the bat. And so she got with me and sat me down and she said, "Okay, we're going to figure out how to land Bob Denver." And I was like, I was very young and innocent. I was like, "What?" She's like, "We're going to land Bob Denver." And I'm like, "Well, how are we going to do that?" And she's like, "You're going to pretend to have car trouble opening night. You're going to tell him your car won't run. He needs to pick you up. You need to ride with him." So I said, "Okay, that's what I did." I called him, said I was, you know, did what she said to do. And doggone it, it worked. She was right. I guess she knew her son pretty well.
Yeah, and he was such a wonderful guy. I mean, just a fun human being to be around. I actually got to meet him many, many years ago. We rode the Sky Ride together at the Florida State Fair, of all things.
Did you really? He really was a good guy.
Oh, definitely. And I'll tell you, it really did my heart good, not to belabor the point and go back to Dobie Gillis one more time, but that he and Dwayne Hickman, who played Dobie, remained friends for their entire lives. I really love that detail.
Did you read that in the book, that Dwayne passed away on Bob's birthday.
Yeah.
Which was so interesting to me. I don't know why, but it was very interesting to me.
Oh, I completely get it. I mean, that's what life is all about, those moments like that and those little connections that we all share. The book, again, is Island to Icon, The Many Lives of Bob Denver. It's out and available to you now. Dream of Denver, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, I love being on. I want to come back sometime, okay?
You got it. Anytime. Absolutely. I tell you what, we'll take a brief time out here for the bottom of the hour. We've got lots more coming your way for the next half hour of the show. John Grayson in for Dana and Parks on a Thursday afternoon. More to come. John Grayson in for Dana and Parks on a Thursday. Sam Stevie alongside. Sam, who are we listening to here? This is good.
This is Lola Montez by Volbeat.
Volbeat?
Yeah.
Never heard of them. I'm going to have to check them out, though.
They've got a couple of really good songs, and the rest of them are very weird.
You know, I have had the same experience twice in the past few months. And you'd think I would have learned my lesson the first time, and I didn't. There, in the same way that we were talking about actors earlier in the hour, people right. You can't take for whatever reason, there are bands that I have not listened to on purpose because I hate their name. And
okay.
I got burned by that twice and have been kicking myself and going, dude, the name of the band doesn't matter. It's the music that matters. You should know this. You're a musician.
Right.
So,
by the way, happy National Audiophiles Day.
And, oh, that's right. That's yeah. right. It is. So the first one was Fountains of Wayne. And I just thought that's a stupid name. It's just a dumb name. I don't like the name Wayne to begin with. And I believe it's talking about Wayne, Indiana, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't like Indiana. So I was like, no. And then accidentally, like my Spotify just happened to grab one of theirs. They're awesome. They are really, really good.
Stacy's mom's got it going on.
Yeah, and that's the one song that I knew by yeah. them, and I was like, okay, it's a good song, but, and I don't even remember what the one I heard was, but I thought this is great writing, and it's wonderful musically, so yeah, them. And then Jen and I went to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. About a month ago. Okay. And just, you know, just a little vacation. We've got nothing but time on our hands right. now. So, and she'd never been to Amish country. So off we went. And so while we were there, I thought, you know, I'm 55 years old. I'm now 56. I just had a birthday. And
happy birthday.
Thank you. And I have never had a straight razor shave. Like where you sit with the hot towels and then yeah. they come out with the little and I thought, you know what? I'm going to find a place here in town that does straight razor shaves. And I did. I found this groovy little barber shop in the middle of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I went and got a straight razor shave.
With
and
the thing that spins out front? What do they call that thing?
Oh, the barber pole. Yeah.
Barber pole, no, yeah.
They didn't have one of those, but inside it was just everything about it. They had this old refrigerator from the 1930s that they had wrapped in it. Oh, yeah. It was just cool stuff like that.
Probably still runs better than most fridges today.
Oh, yeah. yeah. No doubt. And I really, really loved it. But while I was there, a song came on and I didn't recognize it. And so I said to the guy that was shaving me, I said, do you know who this is? Because this is really good, and I've never heard this before. And he said, I don't, but it's playing off of my phone, so I'll go check in a second. And I was like, okay, cool. And it was a song called Harmony Hall by a band called Vampire Weekend.
Oh, yeah, and I've heard of Vampire Weekend.
They are, at least I've listened to a couple of their other tracks since then, but Harmony Hall is just a killer track. And the other ones that I listen to are equally good. So, yeah, another band that I was like, Vampire Weekend? Oh, come on. Because I was thinking, oh, it's all going to be goth, you know, songs about spooky stuff. And it's not. It's not that at all. So
this is A Punk by Vampire Weekend.
Yeah, crank it a little bit. Let's hear some.
I love that style.
Go. Yeah, and the one, Harmony Hall, the one that I heard first, very Paul Simon-y in tone, and just, I just, I loved every bit of it. So, yeah, in the same don't judge a book by its cover kind of motif, don't judge a band by its name, because you'll find out you'll miss out on an awful lot of really good music.
Well, and there's a lot of bands with really bad music that have really good names.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And this, to go off on yet another tangent, something just happened. And Sam, you're a bit of a tech guy. I'm kind of a tech guy.
What's going on?
So my phone, because you and I are on this little Google Meet or whatever, yeah, so that we can see each other, since I'm not in the studio. And my phone, I forgot to plug it in, so it started to die. It gave me that noise, the boo-doo-doo noise, as in, I'm about to die, dude. You need to do something about this. So during the break, I ran upstairs and grabbed a USB-C cable. It's USB-C on both ends.
Right.
And plugged one into my computer and plugged the other end into my phone so that it could charge. And I just noticed sitting here that one end says power and has an arrow. And the other end says device and has an arrow pointing at the device. Right. I just happened to plug it in the right way. But isn't the whole point of USB, especially USB-C, that it doesn't matter which direction?
I don't think it would matter, no.
So that doesn't make any sense. Why did they put that on there?
Yeah. Well, probably because most people need very explicit instructions to do absolutely anything, and something as simple as plugging in a USB-C to USB-C would confuse them. So rather than fielding, you know, call after call after call with frequently asked questions, they're like, fine, we'll label it.
As sad as it is, you're probably 100% correct. I mean, if anybody knows any different, I mean, does directionality, I know it's not supposed to matter on a USB-C cable, but if it does, I'd be curious to know what it is that's different about either side, because
The only thing that I can think of would be like upload speed, if you have the super high-tech cord, which I think they're all supposed to be that way now.
Okay.
But it wouldn't make any sense because it says power, not...
Yeah,
because
I mean, I'm sure it's supposed to be one that plugs into a power brick that you then plug into the wall. But yeah, it doesn't seem like it should matter.
That is very confusing. I don't know.
Weird. We almost got asteroided. I don't know if you saw this, that there was an asteroid that just passed by Earth a little while ago.
Oh, was it a near miss of 1.2 million miles?
No, it was a near miss of fewer than 200 miles.
Oh!
It was about 187 miles above the surface of the planet, and that is close. Couple of things about this. It was not a giant asteroid. I know I saw all the giant asteroid 2024 bumper stickers that were out there last year, and I was kind of with you on that, by the way. But it was, they said, about 6 feet in diameter, which is not huge, but it's not tiny. The crazy thing about this is we're still not very good at being able to see something that size when it's just out floating around in the ether. And most times when things like this happen, we don't know about it until it's already by. And that's what happened in this case. It was already by us. And then somebody went, hey, what the heck was that thing?
It broke through the Van Allen radiation belt and did not burn up.
No.
What is this thing made of?
Right. And I don't know. So I did a little looking around to see if I could find out, like, if it had hit, what kind of damage could something that big do? And the answers that I found most often were, it would probably blow up, because it's not small enough that it would just burn up, but it's big enough that, you know, it's not big enough. It's big enough that the friction would just get it so super hot that it would probably cause what they call an air burst.
An implosion. Yeah.
And this has happened before, where it'll get close enough to the ground that when it goes up, and they do go boom, and look up the Tunguska
event. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been obsessed with that thing.
Yeah, it flattened an entire forest. So, but thankfully it was out in the middle of Siberia, out in the middle of nowhere.
It was also 1908 when we didn't have the modern technology to live in the middle of Siberia.
Right. So, but they said it would just cause an airburst, and if it got close enough to the surface, it would probably be enough to like smash windows and things like that, just from the concussion of it blowing up.
Oh, good.
So thankfully that didn't happen, but 187 miles, just unbelievable that something could get that close and we wouldn't even know it.
Well, believe it or not, my crazy mind has been obsessed with near extinction events lately and the possibility of near extinction events. And one thing that we don't often think about, because we have these reports every spring and every fall, and I was solely on the bandwagon that this was NASA's way of trying to secure the following quarter's revenue. You know, hey, we need to prove that we're doing something. There's right. some mysterious rock that we didn't see. It's going to come real close. So everybody freak out and we'll get our funding and then it'll go by and we'll be good. Right. That was what I was convinced what was going on with NASA. Well, mm-hmm. come to find out, we have put so much junk into space yep. that we actually go through big old rocks of space debris every spring and every fall. So when we have these near misses, it's because we're going through that debris field as we rotate around the sun, and all that debris field follows us, right? It's a real possibility. Now, whether or not it's actually going to happen, we have no control over. So there's yeah. no point in freaking out about it, but the more I read into it, I'm like, God, I am going to turn into the craziest person ever. I'm going to be staring at the sky with a telescope. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, well, it's a fairly regular occurrence. I'm trying to remember the name of the movie with George Clooney, the space travel movie, and I can't, but they kind of reference it in there. Every so often, the International Space Station has to kind of close up shop and bring in the sails and yeah. things like that because they're going through a debris field like right. like you described. And if that stuff hits the ISS, it can cause some real serious damage. So, yeah, it is. I don't know if you remember this. There was an incident that happened maybe a year or two ago where one of the astronauts who was out on a spacewalk lost the toolkit. And it just floated away. Well, it doesn't just float away. It stays out there.
Right.
You know, and it becomes a projectile. So.
And it enters low orbit and now it adds to the space junk. And, you know, mm-hmm. in 6 months, they're going to have a wrench go through the windshield. Not going to know why.
So much fun. Again, we're so bad at this and yet we keep doing it. And I don't know if you saw this one today. They have found, they think, Amelia Earhart's plane again.
Not buying it.
No, me either.
I'm not buying it.
Until they pull that thing up out of the water, I am not going to believe that they have come anywhere near finding Amelia Earhart's plane.
Well, you remember the last excursion they went on, you were actually still working here at the time.
It was rocks.
We all said that it was three rocks at the bottom of the ocean. All yep. of us agreed. And they go out there, they spend the millions of dollars, they get down there with the high-tech cameras, and three rocks.
Three rocks. And I'm sure that that's when what's going to happen this time, too. According to CBS News, they said that a team from Purdue University, go Boilermakers, are set to travel to the South Pacific to determine if a visual anomaly on a remote island is indeed the wreck of Amelia Earhart's lost plane, the Lockheed Electra that she was flying. And they said that it's near, let's see, it's a visual anomaly known as the Terea object in a lagoon on the island of Nikumaroro. Who comes up with these names? A small island in Kiribati about halfway between Australia and Hawaii and 400 miles southeast of Howland Island, which is was no where weird. They were. That's where they were going.
Yeah, yeah. But nowhere yeah. near where they thought that she ended up. Right.
Right. Right. So, yeah, they're on their way out there. They said they will likely travel to that island, that I'm not saying that name again, to inspect the object in November. So at least we'll get an answer fairly quickly. But the curious thing about this is they're not the first ones to notice that object.
Right.
They said it's visible in photographs dating back to 1938, which is when she disappeared. So who knows? Is it Amelia Earhart's plane? Again, I have my doubts simply because we've been down this road. You think about how many times they quote unquote found a parachute in the woods in the Pacific Northwest and went, we think this is D.B. Cooper's parachute. And it turns out, no, it's not.
It's actually a kite that a kid was flying the other day and then lost control of it.
Yeah. Exactly. So we've been down this road before. Are there any of those mysteries that you're still fascinated with?
I mean, I think the Loch Ness Monster is down there somewhere.
Okay. All right.
It's got to be.
Yeah. Probably D.B. Cooper is the one that I would love to know the answer to. All I would love to know about that, and I'm not even interested in his true identity or anything else like that. I just want to know, did he survive the jump? Did he survive yeah. the jump, and did he walk out of those woods?
And why did he leave his necktie?
Yeah, right. And there seems, I mean, there's some evidence that maybe he did because they found some of the money. A dad and his son who were out hiking, they found some of the money and it was already, you know, torn up beyond belief, but they said it looked like it had been buried. So maybe, But then again, it's hard to know because I think they found it in a riverbed or something like that. So it's hard to know if it was really buried or if sand and water and things just washed over it and buried it that way. So.
Which is probably what happened to Amelia Earhart's plane.
Exactly. So we'll keep an eye on it. And, it's another something to be interested in come next month when those guys finally get out there. So just watch for the researchers at Purdue and see if finally this mystery has been solved. We'll take a brief time out. We'll hit the top of the hour in the not too distant future. Got a story or two to tell you before we get there. Stick around. John Grayson in for Dana and Parks on a Thursday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just a few seconds left to go in the hour, and a quick one for you, really quick. Out of Brookline, Massachusetts, police there are on the lookout for an alleged peeping Tom who was caught in an act of self-love while staring into somebody else's window in Brookline. They haven't caught him yet, but he was undone by two pieces of technology. One was a Ring doorbell camera. The other one was a light with a motion sensor. Imagine his surprise.
Oh my God.
When you move just a little bit too much. Yeah, dude.
And there was motion.
Well, it's all about the motion of the ocean,
all right?
So, yeah, they're looking for him. They say he's in his 20s or 30s, has dark hair, and was wearing a graphic T-shirt and sweatpants. So if you're on your way to Brookline, look out for that dude. Have yourself a wonderful remainder of your day. Sam Stevie, thank you so much for all your help this afternoon.
Thank
it was
you for
great
filling
fun.
In.
Hey, great fun talking to you again.
Yeah.
Buddy. Take care of yourself. And you do the same. When will we three meet again? Who knows, but we'll be around. Thanks a lot, and Dana and Parks back tomorrow.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.